It would happen this way. You may be walking. Maybe the first sunny day of the spring. And a car will slow beside you. And a door will open. And someone you know, maybe even trust, will get out of the car. And he will smile. A becoming smile. But he will leave open the door of the car and offer to give you a lift.
It may happen this way. Planes may fly into the towers and they may come down. And people will be running and screaming, and a passport may fall out of the sky. Kind of like a magic bullet falling on a stretcher after the fact. But the towers will come down. So from the Wikipedia entry for Time Magazine, around the time they were raising $100,000 from wealthy Yale alumni such as Henry P. Davidson, Skull and Bones, partner of J.P. Morgan and Company, wasn't that the group that was an Eastern European banking front that, guys like Eustace Mullins told us, and that fomented the panic, for example, of 1907 in particular, and a couple before the turn of the 20th century, and then led the crusade to break the bank, the money trust, the PR campaign. I wonder how they did that. PR campaigns like that. Continuing, publicity man Martin Egan and J.P. Morgan and company banker Dwight Morrow, Henry Luce, and Brighton Haddon hired Larson in 1922, although Larson was a Harvard graduate and Luce and Haddon were Yale graduates, Skull and Bones more specifically. After Haddon died in 1929, Larson purchased 550 shares of Time Inc. After Haddon died in 1929, remember, what did his will say? Do not sell these shares. Before he died, Haddon signed a will which left all of his stocks in Time Inc. to his mother and forbade his family from selling those shares for 49 years. After Haddon died in 1929, this is Wikipedia, Time Magazine. Larson purchased 550 shares of Time Inc. using money he had obtained from selling RKO stock. How did he get that? Which he inherited from his father, who was the head of the Benjamin Franklin Keith theater chain in New England. Interesting. We always have those hysterical attention-seeking psychopaths close by too, right? However, after Britain Haddon's death, the largest Time Inc. stockholder was Henry Luce, who ruled the media conglomerate in an autocratic fashion. At his right hand was Larson, quote-unquote, Time's second-largest stockholder, according to Time Inc., The Intimate History of Publishing Enterprise, 23-44. In 1929, Roy Larson was also named a Time Inc. This is, of course, after Haddon's passing. In 1929, Roy Larson was also named a Time Inc. director and vice president. J.P. Morgan retained a certain control through two directorates and a share of stocks, both over Time and Fortune. Other shareholders were Brown Brothers, W.A. Harriman & Company, and the New York Trust Company, parenthetically Standard Oil. Do you see how small this group is and how tightly controlled? Henry Luce admitted he controlled the outlet in autocratic fashion. And I read from his Wikipedia entry that, he once demanded John Kennedy invade Cuba, later to remark to his editors that if he did not, his corporation would act like the Hearst, like Hearst during the Spanish-American War. American primacy, the American century, through his periodicals, advancing that idea with the ideals shared and guided by members of his social circle, John Foster Dulles, his social circle, Secretary of State, and his brother, Director of the CIA, Alan Dulles. So you hear this story and the weird proclivities that I mentioned from Claire Booth Luce's, how can you say, oh yeah, praise Jesus, we love the Lord, and then you're doing this other stuff over here. People that can do that, man. Anyway, hopefully that, gives you an insight into it's a very tightly controlled, very small club, like George Carlin told us. They have no qualms of conscience. They're cannibalists at times. They will eat their own. No qualms. So that's a sort of prelude to George Herbert Walker Bush, because Prescott Bush was part of this conglomerate as well, and that's where George Herbert Walker Bush cut his teeth. So marrying Aleister Crowley's daughter, undoubtedly. To the phones, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it, Chris. The photograph you're talking about, I mentioned a book yesterday. I went and dug it up out of my library. Moments in Time, Dirk Kolstad. And, you know, I'm looking at Bush pointing to the towers. Well, December 7th, 1941, December 7th, 1988, 47 years later, these people operate, they're strict with their numerology and their occult symbolism. So naturally, I kind of crunch numbers. Seven and four comes to 11, which is, interestingly, you know, the 11th day of September 2001. It's disorder. So then I thought, well, what is the meaning of the number 47? And I had never gone here before. And actually, I just want to read something off of Wikipedia about the number 47 for people that think, well, it's far out. He was announcing to people the new Pearl Harbor, knowing good and well what they were going to do, because those towers were designed to come down at a specific time in history.
Well,
number 47, according to... Go ahead.
Absolutely, and, you know, speaking of the towers designed, I mean, I always think of Frank DeMartini talking about how, you know, when he was interviewed shortly before September 11, 2001, for a documentary, he explained they were designed to withstand all kinds of things, including multiple plane impacts, and it would be like sticking a pencil in a screen on your porch. Would do nothing. Anyway.
Right. Okay, so the number 47, it's a prime number. It's a 15th prime number. 1 in 5 comes to 6. Or 3 plus 3 or 33. It's also called a safe prime number. Now, what that means, I'm not certain of. It's the, get this, the 13th super singular prime and the 6th Lucas prime. Well, what is Lucas? That's Lucifer. That's Lucius. So it's a Lucas prime. It's a cototient number. I don't know what that means. But it's also called an Einstein prime. So they were announcing the towers coming down for anyone that was able to not only understand it, but have access to the photograph. I don't know how widely dispersed it was. And then you mentioned Barbara Bush, Barbara Bush, GHW's wife. Do you remember when Aleister Crowley was involved? Was that Babylon Working? First one?
Was no, I don't remember.
Working? Well, I'm wondering if he had not been performing the Babylon Working, and if you understand what that was, she could have been a result.
Right. I think Working. That's, yeah, yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And in 1947, they had Alamantra Working, and some interesting people were born right at that time in 1947, and one of those was Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying. I'm purely speculating. But
yeah.
It's interesting to realize that whether or not anyone really understands it or comprehends it, it is real. We were told by Paul in Ephesians, who our battle was with, and it's not other people of different skin colors. That's not the... And you know, when they cover these things up as a matter of national defense, we are so programmed to think they're protecting a country, but they're not. If you understand the biblical definition of nation against nation, it's race against race. And it doesn't mean black against white. It means a certain seed of the serpent, seed of Satan, and the children of God. That's the national defense, is defending those that are on the other side of the, or going to the abyss, in my opinion and my understanding. That's the national defense, because if they ever let that out, they'd be putting themselves in the gallows. And with that, I'll make room. I mean, I can't prove any of this. They don't document this for me to be able to go in and get documentation. This is what the Holy Spirit's telling me. So anyway, be interesting to hear your comments and others.
Yeah. And just another, I mean, again, it's all, there's plausible deniability in all of it. And so, you know, you look back through history over the course of the 20th century, particularly the second half of the 20th century, it's interesting how many peculiarly, interesting events, are commemorated on that day, December 7th. You know, we mentioned, the photo op, there at Liberty Village, in December 7, 1988, which results, I mean, it was very peculiar. If you go look, you know, again, the Reagan Library has the footage on, published on YouTube, and you can find it other places, but it was very awkward. And why create the platform? Watch the footage for yourself. They don't do anything. They go up on this platform that was constructed for what purpose? Just to make it convenient for that photo opportunity? Why would they? What is the purpose?
For those that haven't seen the photo, Chris, it's taken in such a way that Bush and the towers are the same height. It's not like you're looking in these towers.
Actually, he's taller. So he's like the Titan, you know, towering over it, pointing to the
right. And then you look at the towers, and I can't tell because of the photograph that I have in this book. Whether it, and it's going to sound like I'm making this up, is it a bird or is it a plane flying near the towers? I can't tell from the photo, but I stumbled on this book, and I told Chris this earlier. I picked it up in a used bookstore for 75 cents. The inscription on the cover is, "This was a gift from John Sigenthaler, Christmas 2006. So whoever he gave it to took it to a used bookstore, and I happened upon it. Now, if you don't know who John Sigenthaler is, or was, I don't know if he's still alive, he was involved with Robert Kennedy on his staff. So this is a book I'll never get rid of, not that it's anything necessarily special. But if you can see the truth that we're talking about in one photograph in that book, this book is full of photographs from every presidential administration from the 1950s until 2000. This book has probably got things in it, and I'm sure it has, that I haven't found yet. So look for the book. You can buy it on eBay or Amazon, Moments in Time, Dick Halstead. It's not expensive. I'll make room. Thank you for letting me talk.
Yep. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. So the photo op, like I said, there have been several of these photo essays that Time Magazine has run. I've just talked about the history of Time Magazine, and so you start to see it's no small coincidence that certain things have happened. So the photo essay, New World Order, shortly after Bush's victory in 1988, Reagan tours New York City with his successor and Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the soon-to-be-extinct Soviet Union. Why? What was going on there? And so Bush is pointing. Again, if you watch the footage, it seems peculiar. Why create this? What was the purpose of this photo op? And this was a pivotal moment in history. So that's interesting. And, unless you are willing to explore, it all seems sort of circumstantial. And, you know, from the Time Magazine entry, you know, we know, I mean, even Wikipedia tells us, you know, there are those peculiar moments where the worst sociopaths and psychopaths are honored as man of the year, you know, It's been a point of controversy for Time Magazine. Person of the Year. In the past, such figures as Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin have been Man of the Year, and at very curious moments, no less. In 2006, Person of the Year was designated as you, which reminds me, can't help reminding me of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 3 in particular. But the Red X covers also, you know, Red X covers with the faces of Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Zarqawi's picture, and Bin Laden's picture. So, you know, it's no surprise that it has been a propaganda outlet, because that was what it was from the very beginning, a propaganda outlet for the titans of industry and society, the guiding hand, you know, the unseen hand. And again, this is, you know, these things happened before the internet. And so you can imagine that there are folks who've come along the way. I think that, you know, based on what we can infer from even the most pedestrian version of history, I mentioned, for example, from Claire Booth Luce's Wikipedia entry, that John Fitzgerald Kennedy, you know, there was some controversy. There was some discord. And seeing these folks, you know, again, I mentioned yesterday how Averell Harriman, as ambassador, was guiding McGeorge Bundy, essentially, in Vietnam, and that even Wikipedia says that that was a point of frustration for Kennedy. You have all of these peripheral figures who all go back to this power establishment, and Kennedy was attempting to assert his presidential power and authority. And guess what happened? Nixon, same thing, you know, talking to George Herbert Walker Bush like he's an underling. And guess what happens? So it's interesting, you know, all of, and again, you know, Roger Verbal Kent seems to surround himself with these, you know, it's Machiavellian. It's Sun Tzu, you know, when you're strong, act weak. Sort of, you know, ingratiating himself, acting feeble, when all the while you're staring the devil in the face, essentially. Anyway, back to the phones. Harvey in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chris. How you doing today?
Hey, Harvey. All right, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm sure you have a computer in front of you, right? You want to see two great photos. You were talking about photographs. See if you could find the photo of George Herbert Walker Bush and son Jeb walking into the White House in the Obama administration in his first week in office, walking through a snowstorm, and Bush was already not in good shape. That's very interesting, because one of his main people, I believe, said Obama was a CIA agent working for Daddy Bush, just like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Can you find that picture, Chris?
I don't know.
Google Images.
Yeah.
And another one, another great picture, I know you could find this one, I found it yesterday, is a special ambassador, Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah, hold that thought. We'll be right back, folks.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We should play that clip, you know, from the announcement Bush won January 16, 1991. The Persian Gulf War begins. I remember when that announcement was made, and man, I thought something is wrong here. And I've talked about how I heard about military service. My grandfather romanticized service, but then didn't, you know, he and my grandmother were ardently of a mind to make sure that my father didn't serve in the military. My uncle actually did, but I didn't hear about why. And you know, you find out afterward that, well, what Patrick Clausen tells us is kind of the way it goes, you know. And so I remember, you know, I enlisted because you hear these romanticized stories. This is an institution that will turn boys into men, not knowing that's, you know, probably not a good thing. You're institutionalizing something that later will basically capture society, according to the founders, and there was a reason that we weren't supposed to institutionalize the military establishment, only to discover after the fact, you know, during service, this is what's going on. You hear the announcement out of nowhere, President Bush is giving these ultimatums to Saddam Hussein and regarding Kuwait. Very peculiar. And then later, of course, you learn that there are no accidents, there are no coincidences, really. And it's all planned. And these people are extremely wicked and would sell their own mother, obviously would sell their own soul to get ahead. So anyway, we're on the phones. We have Harvey in Florida on the phone. And you mentioned the Rumsfeld photo shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, speaking of Hussein. And that was from the 70s. I think that was around 75. Again, that's, you know, those are Bush days for sure. He was CIA spymaster, I believe, at the time that photograph was taken, or right around that time anyway.
And one of the pictures, if you go to the second column or the third column, you see him and Saddam Hussein in their tuxedos. They were out celebrating somewhere in their tuxedos. That's a very interesting picture.
And so,
one minute he's in a tuxedo, next thing he's living in a snake hole or something like that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he crossed the Bush family. Just right. Like Noriega, and I have some inside information for you on Noriega Bush. So I'll wait till after the commercial and give you that beauty.
Right on.
All this is unbelievable. So many crimes, so little time. I'd like to see Bush buried in a clear glass coffin right in Daley Plaza so Americans, true Americans, could go by and spit on him.
Over the past couple of days, I mean, you know, I've tried to point to the most pedestrian sources that anyone can go to see, you know, the crimes of state that have been committed. And again, you honestly, when you start looking, you start digging in, you just, you know, just see where research leads you. Tell me if it's not true that this guy seems like Kaiser Soze masquerading as Roger Verbal Kint, you know, and you step back. And kind of like Chaz Palminteri's character in The Usual Suspects, you start to see all of the dots connected, and this guy has been at or around every pivotal moment in history over the course of the second half of the 20th century.
That's because shaping, the American steering, people guiding. Are so gullible, they think it's their country, but it's not. It's the Bush's country. Bush and the people like him. The Trumps, the Bushes, Barack Obama's, you were saying recently how they brought him up from oblivion. Of course, he was a CIA agent since he was a boy, just like his mother and his grandfather.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, out of nowhere, Barack Obama appeared on the political stage in 2004, gave the DNC keynote address.
Did you find the picture of Jeb and Daddy Bush going through the snow to visit Barack on his first week in office? That's a beauty. You got to see that one, Chris. That's what he's... You should be able to find it somewhere. I found it. I didn't find it today, but I've seen it in the past. It's a real beautiful picture.
Yeah.
He came off his deathbed to go visit his little...
Right. Groping underage girls along the way. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday is December 7th, 2018. Again, 77 years on from December 7, 1941, Pearl Harbor. And, you know, we played the clip earlier. Patrick Claussen tells us how it really works, how things really work. You know, if Iran's not going to cooperate, maybe it'd be better if someone else starts the war, right? That's what Patrick Claussen said. How to build U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. Talked about that. Talked about the fact that all of these conflicts are contrived and fomented. Patrick Claussen tells us how incidents are staged and orchestrated in order to, you know, as a preemptive pretext to enter the war under morally plausibly justifiable means and pretext, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, we know that the CIA was wagging the dog in the 60s with the Cuba Project and Operation Northwoods, which was just one of more than a dozen similar scenarios that the Joint Chiefs of Staff cooked up to, in that case, shoot down commercial airliners and bomb American malls and blame it on the Cubans to invade. And, you know, one of the listening posts for those operations was through Zapata Petroleum Company, George Herbert Walker Bush's petroleum company. So, you know, you start to, again, you get into the history and you see over and over and over this pattern, you know, like Michael Rupert put it in Crossing the Rubicon. It is clear that everywhere there is oil, there is brown and root, but increasingly everywhere there is war and insurrection, there is brown and root. There's KBR, there's Halliburton, there's Dresser, there's the CIA, there's the Bush family. So that's the undeniable sort of fact of history. And there are all of these sort of anecdotal, you know, alleged coincidences, but how many coincidences do you string together before you start to deny statistical or defy statistical probability? For example, the Wikipedia entry for John Hinckley Jr., by the way, different spelling. External links down at the bottom of the page. Still today, this Joseph B. Treatster, April Fools, 1981. A life that started out with much promise took reclusive and hostile path. Have you read about John Hinckley Jr.? Do you get a sense of MK Ultra? Anyone? Anyway, New York Times, page A19. It says the eldest Hinckley child, Scott, 30. Is the vice president of his father's company and a friend of Neil Bush, the son of Vice President Bush. That was what the New York Times reported. And article goes on. Scott Hinckley and a date had been invited to dinner with the young Bushes home last night, but the dinner was canceled after the shooting. So, you know, you start reflecting on these things. I mean, it just, again, Kaiser Soze masquerading as Roger Verbal Kent. Hey, you know, it worked in Dealey Plaza, November 22nd, 1963. It worked with Bobby Kennedy. In fact, you know, we told the world that it was only, you know, what was it, 8 shots or something? It was an 8-shot 22 revolver, but 13 or 14 shots were required or were recorded as being fired. Did he reload real fast? A revolver? No. Sirhan Sirhan? Of course not. And so you think about the psychopathy and the hubris. Hey, it worked in Dealey Plaza. It worked with JFK. It worked with Bobby Kennedy. Why not, you know, MK Ultra, Manchurian Patsy, John Hinckley Jr. And, you know, stick a 22 in his hand and Bush could be president. But, you know, it would be awkward if they tried to assassinate Reagan twice, wouldn't it? Didn't work. Anyway, even the New York Times reported that the Bush family was closely connected to John Hinckley Jr. And the Bin Ladens, same thing. These facts of history conveniently seem to evaporate. Anyway, what do you think, Harvey?
I think the FBI can do anything for the American people. How can they not trace all this ill-gotten gains by Rumsfeld, the Bush family, all their associates, and they can't confiscate all the wealth that they've stolen from the American people on these contrived occurrences, let's put it that way. It's amazing. Yeah. Totally worthless. Totally worthless. Yeah. They should have been fired after Kennedy was killed. And I was in seventh
grade. The connections... It's, you know, it's so astonishing, you know, I just how people are able to do these mental gymnastics. You know, again, back to Michael Rupert's Crossing the Rubicon, the section titled 3 Days of the Condor under Chapter 2, Cheney Knew. He writes, there is a deeper part of human nature that covers the planet in a sickly, light, sweet, crude blanket of denial. It is perfectly epitomized by the closing lines of Sidney Pollack's extraordinary 1975 film. By the way, what was going on then? 3 Days of the Condor, and he writes, as From the Wilderness has shown in recent stories, using declassified CIA documents, the agency was already aware of peak oil in the mid-1970s. He talks about that. Anyway, skipping ahead, he says, I can guarantee you that it is the overriding rationale in Dick Cheney's mind, in the mind of every senior member of the Bush administration, in the mind of whomever it is that will be the next president. And, you know, he makes the point at the end, you know, that final scene clip, you know, the question as you know, what happens when people don't have food, you know, and they don't have heat in their homes and stuff, and you know, Ask them when they're running out. Ask them when there's no heat in their homes and they're cold. Ask them when their engines stop.
Well, and, we wouldn't be cold if we confiscated the wealth of people like Dick Cheney and put them
right
in Guantanamo.
So in my mind, you know, the point is that all of that, if there is a crisis, it was fomented. It was created by the same people who are trying to tell us, you know, well, here we have, again, it's that dialectical conflict model. We create
all
two
right,
sides
I'm gonna get
of the conflict collide together.
I'm going to get going so other people
right.
could call and we'll continue another day. But I just want to give you the one true story I know about Manuel Noriega and Daddy mm-hmm. Bush.
Okay.
I was told by one of the heads of the Medellin cartel,
mm-hmm.
one of them, called the Big One. The Big One told me, if you want to smuggle drugs out of Colombia, what you have to do is you bring the ship to Panama. They put their own crew. And from Panama to Colombia and back north, it's totally protected by the U.S. government. That was in 1978 or thereabouts. This is from the head of the Medellin cartel, me personally. I'll leave on that note, Chris.
It's astonishing. Thank you, Harvey, as always. I appreciate it. And that's a well-documented history. Again, many books were written on that subject. And by the time Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World was published, I think it was 1984. Again, this is a long and storied history, well documented. Several of the folks who had been involved, you know, the East Asia operations, Vietnam, station chiefs and things, these stories have been documented time and time again. And you fast forward to today, it's become institutionalized. What was sketchy and, you know, considered low-level operations by today's standards has just been institutionalized. There's a bureaucratic stamp on it. There's an agency logo on it. It has corporate relief, and it's just astonishing. It's all been institutionalized and normal. Vegas – is the sort of analogous example where it used to be factions of crime syndicates. Now the organized crime has gone corporate. And so what Harvey describes, you know, just the worst criminals. I mean, the mafia, sure, they're admitted organized crime syndicates and drug traffickers, same thing. But how many, again, how much of this history do we have to deny, and what kind of mental gymnastics do we have to go through to sort of, you know, assuage our troubled conscience and this uncomfortable history, I think part of the denial comes from, again, from the fact that we benefit in ways that we don't necessarily want to admit. It's interesting, again, bad guys create a situation, and you know, that reminds me of Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. That scene, you know, you're creating problems and then telling people that they need it's organized crime. You create a protection racket. You know, you create the problem and then tell people they need protection. People say, we don't really need protection, so just leave us alone. No, you need protection. Anyway. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, a couple
Hi,
of
Pat.
Things. Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. A couple of things. I like it when I like shows that take callers because you learn a lot. a lot from college, and you know how to respond to it. You know the most of anybody I've ever heard. And I forget it because I'm 76, so maybe it's not important what I forget. But I remember one thing about George H.W. Bush, and that was my husband and I used to pore over the congressional records. So we got stuff from the horse's mouth there, supposedly.
And he
tried to change the Constitution so that he could declare war without Congress. He tried to call people in on January 3rd or something to start that war.
And that's an interesting point, too. And that, I think, is no small point. You know, the speech that he made, the Persian Gulf War announcement, January 16, 1991, he mentioned that it was, even though it was disingenuous, basically a lie, you know, we have this coalition, it's sanctioned by Congress, those things were not true, really. But it was important to mention, and fast forward to now, people don't even know, which, you know, to your point, to your husband's points, to John Stadmiller's points about, I mean, people think the president does these things arbitrarily.
Well, I'm not going to say who's behind what because I may get judged with the same judgment I judge, you know. And we started telling Congress, no, that you can't do that. And so they told him he couldn't do it. But ultimately, they did decide, you know, to do that. And I do believe that Saddam was going to be another Hitler. I do believe that. Not because of Kuwait, that sort of thing right there, but he would hit up everybody around him. He thought he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated, and he was rebuilding Babylon, you know, with bricks. I remember in the 70s, he would just day and night, tons of bricks going to rebuild Babylon. And you know, it's all brick, everything in Babylon. And he was using all his oil money for that. And he was trying to get money from everybody else and threatening everybody around him. That's why they joined us. Did you wonder why they joined us against him? That's why he was, you know, crazy, I think. And, of course, you know, he did have 70 castles, Saddam, because one of my friends' grandson was in the military over there, and he stayed in one of the castles. That was where they lived, the military, after he was gone or whatever. So, and a prophet predicted they'd go find him in a hole in the ground. So, you know, I could never idolize Saddam Hussein. His name means destroyer, right?
Yeah. I don't know that.
Oh, yeah, check it out.
Right on.
You know, Barack Hussein Obama?
Yeah.
I think it's a Hussein means destroyer. Yeah, because Barack, yeah. Oh, well, anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. And another thing the caller was talking about was God showing him about numbers. And it's not numerology, okay? I know what numerology is. But there is a book called The Arithmetic of God by Don Kistler, K-I-S-T-L-E-R. And according to him, he just penned what God told him. He penned it. It's not his idea. And you start reading all that, it's amazing. If you start reading that and looking at that, you'll see that God is trying to get your attention even through numbers, really. It really, because 11 means decision and judgment. Of course, our decision brings our judgment, you know, good or bad, right? And what happens is you're not paying attention because you're taking care of your animals or something. And all of a sudden, numbers start coming at you, just coming at you. And then God shows you, look at that. Every time you look at the clock, it's 11:22 or... Well, 22 is its own number. It means making life. But it's also, it's very interesting. I found something you didn't know, Chris. I thought I'd never do that.
Right on.
So, check it out because There's several numbers have no meaning. But then God gives me a meaning for one, for my own personal speech, and I won't tell other people.
Interesting.
He is screaming at us, trying to get our attention to God.
We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Back. Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. There are no coincidences. You know, I recall I've mentioned many times John Spivak, I think, wrote the definitive piece on Wall Street's fascist conspiracy, which is what he titled his article series back in 1935. And, you know, speaking of the business plot, and he named names in the article series, but he pointed out that the way he put it, it will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. And it really is a mafia sort of styled crime syndicate. And when you start looking at these things, you notice that it behaves very much like what we hear, how the mob behaves. And an example, we'll probably play the clip. I've mentioned GHWB's peculiar, you know, snickering at Gerald Ford's funeral, referring to a deluded gunman in conjunction with, you know, referring to the JFK assassination, basically. And so, but his entire remarks, I think it was about a minute long. It was a weird soundbite. It was a mafia sort of soundbite. You'll see what I mean. We'll play that at the top of the next hour. But speaking of this crime syndicate, and again, John Hinckley Jr., you go to the Wikipedia entry for John Hinckley Jr. Early life, John Warnock Hinckley Jr. was born on May 29, 1955, and moved with his wealthy family to Dallas, Texas at the age of four. His late father was John Warnock Hinckley Sr., president of World Vision United States. That's an interesting organization. And chairman and president of Vanderbilt Energy Corporation. Vanderbilt Energy Corporation. So, you know, again, financial and economic class considerations rise above all others. And it's a tightly knit club. Like George Carlin said, it's a club. It's a big club, and you and I are not in it. So there is, you know, there are some things that they consider. You know, again, the article I read about Warren Buffett recently, you know, the three things, integrity is the number one, not honesty, you know, not virtue, not honesty, integrity, meaning what? You know, they won't break ranks. And that's basically what Bush said at Gerald Ford's funeral back in 2007. So it was very peculiar. We'll have to play that. You know, this is in its mob style loyalty concept that they operate on. And so that's almost, again, it all starts to run together. It all feels anecdotal at some point. They just maintain this plausible deniability. Third hour coming up. More on the phones. We'll be right back after the short break. Stick around.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.